Without any further ado, it's time for Talkin' Books with Susan Brown, who heads up the Chapel Hill Public Library and a whole bunch of other departments in Chapel Hill now. What is your job title now? I keep forgetting. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm good.
What's
I'm
your
good.
Job title?
Oh, I don't have one. I just come in here and do this show. I'm not even sure. I'm not even officially 100% sure I technically work here.
Okay. You just keep showing up.
They keep letting me.
We're not actually on the air right now.
No, we're definitely on the air.
It's like the Truman Show where, like, you're here. They're letting you do this, but yeah.
Hey, as long as they keep letting me do it, it's all good.
Right. Yes. My title, sir, is Library Director.
Yes.
And Executive Director of Community Arts and Culture.
It's that second one that I can't remember. Yeah.
It's a mouthful. yeah.
So how is everything going? You're busy. A lot's going on.
So busy.
We always talk about summer as being like the lull time.
Yeah, no.
But yeah, at the library, that's when everyone shows
so
up.
So I would say library, parks and rec, festivals and events, staff. Mm-hmm. There's lots of folks in town who, there are some departments who are, when council takes its break, they're sort of in that vein, or it's summer, so there's just this general thing, and so lots of departments, and of course, we're in a college town, so when school's not in session, there's lots of reasons that summer might be a sort of you're just doing the basic stuff.
Right,
you're
right.
Not at full tilt. Except for places like parks and libraries and events and all of those.
Uh-huh.
So yes, we'll be in meetings and somebody will say, "Well, we're in this lull time, so we can do some things." And we're all like, "Yeah, what are you talking about?"
Yeah.
But it's a great problem to have. It really, really is. So the library is just cooking along. It's really, really busy as always. But you know, we have this awesome staff. We've been really working on the last. I'm gonna get like insider baseball for just
do.
A couple minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
We've been really working on being mission driven, on our service pledge, on training our staff, on how can we use technology and other things so that we can offset some of this volume. Because sometimes when you're working at the library at Chapel Hill, it can feel like that post office thing. You know, there's just always more books coming in, always more books to be shelved, always more books going out. So,
speaking of which, did the library just get a donation of 4,000 books from someone?
4,000 books.
Whoa.
Yeah. 4,000.
How many of them have you read?
398.
That's pretty good, yeah.
I mean, 3/9 of one.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
1/8 of the other.
Yeah,
no, sorry.
Yeah.
So, yes, I will circle back to that. But
we have
high volume, but because of the work that we've done with our staff and thinking about our service pledge and technology, I think we're handling it pretty well.
Yeah.
I mean, we just get busier and busier, and our staff just steps up. They are super friendly, go the extra mile. I get compliments and compliments all the time. So, yay, library team.
Woo!
Thank you guys for all you do, because it's a huge task and it's awesome. But here's the thing. That's true of everybody in town. The town of Chapel Hill, our staff, it's just, you see them from the guys picking up the garbage in the mornings to the firefighters to the parks camp counselors. It's an awesome team, I have to say. And I think that the new town manager is going to be well set up to succeed here because of the awesome people that we have.
Awesome.
That was me.
I'm going to pull that 15 seconds and you're going to hear it again in a promo with like the Star Spangled Banner
there
playing behind it really faintly. I'm not even kidding. I already have that in my head for doing that.
Well,
so,
there you go. Awesome.
Yeah.
But I will tell you, so talking about the two different, so this is shameless promo coming up. So we're moving from the inside baseball to shameless promo. And eventually, maybe with 5 minutes left, we'll talk about books, Aaron Keck.
We got all the time in the world.
What was I going to say? Oh, worlds
shameless
colliding.
Promos.
So,
yes.
You know, I have these two functions in my portfolio, library and arts and cultures. And tomorrow night, two of those converge. So I'm going to put a plug in for Movies Under the Stars,
nice.
Which is festivals and events and arts and culture. It's at Wallace Deck. I need to bring it up because I'm going to say the time wrong.
8:30.
It's an awesome series. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Did you get that?
Movie
sure
starts at 8:30. All the fun starts at 7.
At 7.
Yep.
Good job.
Star Wars trivia.
Yes.
Because it's The Force Awakens.
That's right.
Yeah.
So
I got this little index card over here somewhere that
you
says
got a crib
all
sheet.
Of that. Yeah.
So The festivals and event staff, Trey and crew, are awesome with the movie series. And then, because we're all collaborative partners, we bring the circulator. So the circulator will be there. And library staff, I believe we wrote the trivia questions and we'll be calling the trivia questions.
Oh, wow.
So it's a nice collaboration of, I think they did a good mix of hard and easy. Librarians tend to write hard trivia questions.
Okay, so I was the trivia boss for the first library trivia night at Carolina Coffee Shop, which, by the way, we were at the Carolina Coffee Shop the other night, and they're still talking about like how much fun
that's
that was.
Awesome.
It was super, super fun. And y'all should go to Carolina Coffee Shop for the next one, which is
this Saturday night.
Is it this Saturday night? Yeah, we're about to talk about that. But the librarians who had written the questions, like I'm looking at the questions, and they're the most insanely difficult, esoteric, like what was the fourth word on page 149 level questions, and then people answered them. Like
so that one was fantasy night, though, right?
I looked at the questions like no one will ever get this. And then people did for every single one.
That's right.
Yeah, it was crazy.
That's right.
It was
so
nuts.
I think that sci-fi fantasy fans are a certain breed, and you have to amp up the questions.
Yeah.
You have to, because
they brought their A game in terms of writing the questions.
So tomorrow night, Wallace Deck, Star Wars movie, circulator, all kinds of fun, and beer. They have beer
nice.
There now.
Yeah.
That'll be super fun. And then, yes, Saturday night, once again, now this is the library summer reading. This is sort of the adult programming that we do. It's another trivia night. I think it's this weekend. Yes, yes, yes. The 21st at Carolina Coffee Shop. This one's going to be super fun. So this one, the theme is fierce females, and the guest trivia boss, she writes under the name Ellery Adams. She's a New York Times bestselling mystery author. Her real name is Jennifer Staley. One of those.
Staley, I think.
Staley, right?
I don't have
Anyways,
an index card for that one. So.
I'll get you one. She is awesome.
Yeah.
So I think she's a fairly recent transplant to the area. She talk about a fierce female. She's hilarious and sassy and smart and funny, and she's going to be an awesome trivia boss.
Nice.
So if you're looking for head downtown, bring a friend, bring a date, go by yourself and make friends. Saturday night, 7 till 9, it's Book Nerd Trivia Night with Ellery Adams as the guest trivia boss.
Tons of fun.
It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
Yes.
Cool.
Okay, so we've done shameless promo.
Shameless plugs, inside baseball.
Random storytelling, should we do that? No.
No,
we should talk about books.
No, yes, random storytelling, because you haven't told the story of the 4,000 books that showed up
the
at the library
books.
One day.
Thank
yes.
you. We are checking off this list. So we have this awesome friends group who
yes.
do the book sales for us. And we have this awesome community who are a community of readers and professors and book lovers. And sometimes they might downsize, they might move, a family member might pass away, they might just decide to declutter, who knows. They want to get rid of some books. And they bring them to us. So they donate them to the town, our friends handle them for us. And we think for a couple of reasons. We recently made it easier to bring books to us. And our friends are managing the only used bookstore in town. Like Flyleaf has some used books, but they're not a used bookstore.
Yeah.
So our friends, I believe, are the only sole used bookstore
yes.
in town. So therefore, people think, where can I take them to a used bookstore?
Yep.
So we get a lot of donations. And somebody said we have 4,000 books. And we do work with a bookseller. It's kind of their like side gig.
Mm.
And so our friends can't go and pick them up, but we work with a contractor who goes and picks them up, helps us manage them. So yes, 4,000 books. Now I'll tell you, in an average book sale, the big book sales, there are like 20,000 books.
Yeah.
So this is one-fifth.
This is one-fifth of the collection.
And there are so many. So these books were a lot of kind of classic titles, but just generally, the donations are just insane right now. The next book sale, it's early September.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be awesome. I mean, people just bring us brand new hardcover books that are on the hot list right now.
Oh, wow.
I mean, kids' books, games, DVDs, vinyl records. So mark your calendars.
For sometime this fall.
Oh, boy.
Just open up your calendar to fall and just write it down
That's
big.
Right.
block
and they
letters.
Will do another, no, they won't do a sip and shop in September. They'll do a really cool basket raffle. And then in December, they're going to do another sip and shop.
Nice.
So it'll be super fun.
You're
so yes,
get
we
to
got
the point
4,000
where you're
going
to have one of these big book sales like every month instead of every quarter.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, the bookstore is awesome. The bookstore now makes almost as much as an individual book sale.
Nice.
It's the only one in town now.
Right,
and
right.
They will also, and I recently used this, and it's all volunteers. Okay, mm-hmm. This is all run by our friends, all volunteers. They are amazing. One of the volunteers, Natalie, if you want her to search for a book, she has this like photographic memory of the sorting room and all the donations. You can send her a list and say, I'm looking for these 10 books.
Wow.
She'll probably find
at least
8 of them for you.
Because the bookstore in the basement, like, there's a lot of cool stuff in there, but there's a whole lot more not in that room.
It's like the iceberg, right?
Yeah,
Glacier, you see that much.
Yeah.
We have a sorting room and storage areas. So, yeah, the bookstore is great. If you've never been there, it's in our lower level. You should totally check it out. Mm. It's like this hidden gem.
I like the iceberg metaphor. My go-to metaphor was the shoe store where you're like, yeah, you've got the selection in front, but do you have these in 10 and a half? And then they walk back into this like huge, enormous like warehouse of shoes and find it for you.
So I worked briefly. Here's a really rando story.
Ooh,
here we go.
I worked
briefly in a department store. So I was a waitress, food service, mm-hmm. all of that. And then I worked briefly in department store retail. And let me just tell you, shoes. I mean, this was back in the day when you still like were full service, like you would, you know, put the shoes on people and all of that. It was brutal. And for keeping that back room sorted.
Yeah.
It was rough. So that's the thing about me. I don't like actually organizing things or putting things in orderly fashion. So it's weird that I'm a librarian.
That's why you have people to do that.
Right.
Good, great people who do that for
you. That's right.
Yeah. All right. We've got Susan Brown here in the studio from the Chapel Hill Public Library. We have not talked books yet, but that is the title of the segment. So we should at some point recommend books we're currently reading. Is
right.
That, yeah.
And I'm going to start the book segment of our show by talking about TV. How's that?
And Chapel Hill Public Library, and never going to get to books at all.
Can't organize things, watches a lot of TV. Yeah, she's a librarian. Okay, so I want to recommend two shows.
All right.
One that I just finished binging, and one that I'm waiting to binge, but they're both based on excellent books that I have read.
Okay, gotcha.
Not currently reading.
I was going to come back to that. It's like, is this book connected at all?
Right. I just finished watching Big Little Lies, which is an HBO show. So what I do is I figure out all the shows that I want to watch that I sign up for HBO for like a month,
mm-hmm.
you know, on the like Amazon thing, and then I cancel it, and then I wait. But I just finished watching Big Little Lies, which won a bunch of awards. Mm-hmm. It got highly recognized. It's got this all-star cast. It's based on a book by Leanne Moriarty, and it's a fabulous show, and it's one of the few that I think is better than the book. Like, the book was a big hit, and I like the book. I love the series.
All right.
Now, I question season 2, because that's going to go beyond the arc
of
the book.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about
season
that.
Season 2 is always a risky proposition,
right?
I think, for any show,
yeah.
right? Yeah.
And then I also want to recommend, this just launched and it's also getting a lot of recognition, also on HBO, Sharp Objects.
Okay.
Which has, what's her name, Amy Adams in mm-hmm. it, and it's getting a lot of press. That's based on a book by Gillian Flynn, who wrote Gone Girl.
Nice.
So I'm waiting to binge that one, because I could watch them episode by episode, but then I'm like,
yeah,
like
you got to watch it all at once, right? Yeah. Otherwise,
so,
you have to wait, and who wants to do that in America?
Yeah. Hey, now, wait a minute.
I don't want to wait either.
Right.
Like, we all share in that.
So I will say that Sharp Objects and Dark Places were Flynn's first two books before her breakthrough Gone Girl, which everybody read, which was this mega hit.
Did then everyone go back to Sharp Objects and Dark Places?
Right, so that's what happened. And I actually think that for me, Sharp Objects and Dark Places, I like them a little bit better mm-hmm. than Gone Girl, but that's just me, my personal taste as a reader.
Okay.
So are you going to talk about books?
I am going to talk about books. So as I have said, I'm doing the nerdy thing of going through, in this case, the UNC library and like walking through all of the shelves and just pulling off everything that I think is interesting,
right,
and checking it out. I finished the history floor, so that's good. I moved up to the H's in the card catalog there, which is the like the social science-y section. So I'm walking, and it's like the cool, fun, a lot of times like pop social science. But there's been a whole bunch of really good books that I've been able to read in the last week. But the one that really stands out is one that I think I've you ever had this experience where you open up a book and you start to read it and you realize a couple pages in that you think you've probably read this before.
And there's if there's not a term for that, we should come up with one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Deja read or something like that. We'll work on it. We'll work on it. Yeah. We'll fix it in post. So this is a book called What Money Can't Buy by Michael Sandel. Michael Sandel is a Harvard philosopher. He teaches this really popular course on, or taught, I'm not sure if he's still there, this really popular course on justice. And then he wrote a book called just Justice, which was full of all of these like ethical dilemmas and what how the way we answer them, what that tells us about our approaches to justice and what we think about it. So we published this book 6 years ago called What Money Can't Buy, The Moral Limits of Markets. And it's all about how everything now is commodified and everything is for sale and what the consequences of that are. Like not just moral consequences, but also like what are we losing by turning everything into a product that can be bought and sold on the market. And the sort of classic example of that is what was the really good one? Hang on. I gotta find it now. I'm looking at this.
There's a word for that. There's a term for that. I think it's a brain fart.
I think it's for. I think it's just being forgetful. Oh God, it's not even there. Yeah, that's sad.
Okay.
People have an incentive to like raise money for charity, for instance. So they took these two groups and they said, okay, you go out and collect money for charity. And then they took the other group and said, you go out and collect money for charity and we'll pay you to do it. So it's exactly the same thing, but this other group gets an extra incentive to go out and raise money. So you would think that they would work harder, but the other group is the one that actually raised more because they think of it as like a moral obligation or a sense of civic duty, whereas the other group is just doing it for money.
What's the book called?
What Money Can't Buy.
So here's my question. Do you remember?
Yeah.
So I love reading about those things, but I tend not to read the academic approach. Like I like things like Freakonomics or Malcolm Gladwell.
They talk
is
about
it that kind of a thing? Okay.
I think it's a little bit more academic than that, but it's kind of responding to and kind of in the same genre as that.
Okay.
So yeah, Freakonomics, Malcolm Gladwell, and that. And then the other one that I'm reading right now, which is just straight up very similar to Malcolm Gladwell in the approach, there's one that I'm reading right now called Why It Sells by a guy named Marcel Denisi, which is all about advertisements and like the philosophy behind advertisements and why they sell. But the other one that's very Gladwell-y is Emmanuel Rosen. He wrote a book called The Anatomy of Buzz that was really popular, and then he wrote a follow-up called The Anatomy of Buzz Revisited, which was all about like how buzz generates and people who try to generate buzz and record things and try to make them go viral and like fail miserably, and then other people don't even try and it succeeds, and how that works.
Which is what Malcolm Gladwell wrote about. I forget what his big breakthrough
Tipping
book
Point.
Was. Tipping
yeah,
Point.
Yeah, yeah.
He talks about that with
yes.
fads, like how things become yep. fads and truly like organic fads.
Mm-hmm.
So that's cool. And I will say the first book you mentioned was about advertising, right?
Yeah.
So one of my favorite books, and it's hard to find, I think it's out of print, but it's got a great title. It's called Fables of Abundance, A Cultural History of Advertising in America.
Yeah.
It's such a great book.
I
if you're at
this
all
book
into
talks
advertising,
about that
does
one.
It?
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah. Fables in Abundance? Is
Fables
that? Of Abundance.
Abundance.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a great title.
Cool.
Okay.
I'll have to look that one up.
So after talking about TV,
yes.
Now I'm going to talk about two books.
And I'm done, so this is all
okay.
on you.
Okay. I got two books and then I'm done.
All right.
However, the problem is these are books that you can't read yet. I think I'm... So one of the advantages of working at the public library is, especially when you have an awesome person like Tracy, who's our acquisitions and collections manager, she knows like all the publishers. So but like most libraries get sent boxes of galleys or ARCs, advanced reading copies or galleys. So these are pre-publication copies of books that are going to come out. And the publishers send them out to book reviewers, to libraries, to different, to like booksellers. to generate buzz. So galleys and arcs is a thing. But when you have somebody like Tracy, like, we get them all. She knows every publisher. They are always sending boxes of arcs. It's awesome. So I'm going to talk about two books that are coming out soon. And both of these, I think, will be highly buzzworthy. These will be buzzed books. One of them is called Our House. It's by an author named Louise Candlish, and she's a British author. I think that this will probably be her breakthrough book here in the States. So she's known in Britain. And it's, again, very much like the Ruth Ware, The Girl on the Train, which all kind of put this thread back to Gone Girl and Gillian Flynn. So if you like those types of books, keep an eye out for Our House. The main character is a woman who's, she's separated from her husband, but they're doing this, and they have two kids, but they're doing this thing called the bird's nest, where rather than both of them, or rather than one of them leave the home, they share custody and they share the house.
Okay.
So one of them's there 1 week and the other one's at the flat. So to keep the house together, the household in order, this and that. So that's happening. She comes home one day from a short trip and people have moved into her house. And she's like, what the heck are you doing in my house? And they're like, we just bought this house. What are you doing in our house? So that's how the book opens. And then everything unfolds from there. Mm. It's a mystery thriller about what happened.
Okay.
It's really, really good. And if you like, truly like Gone Girl and even like Big Little Lies, and there is a moment about two-thirds of the way through where you kind of like, you almost want to scream out. Like, people that I know on Twitter said, I screamed on page 482 or whatever it is. It's got a great twist in it. So y'all can't read it yet, but I just finished it. Our House. It comes out on August 7th. Tracy's already ordered copies for us. You can probably already go in the catalog and place it on hold.
Okay.
And then I want to talk about real quick this other galley that Tracy just handed me, because she knows what I like to read. And if it's at all dark, twisty, apocalyptic, or involves a serial killer, she's like, here, Susan Brown, here's a book for you. So this one comes out August 21st. The author is Christina Dalker, D-A-L-C-H-E-R, and it's called Vox. So I love dystopian books. And if you like The Handmaid's Tale, you will like this book. I'm going to start it tonight. So it's set in the future, and the apocalyptic or the dystopian government has decreed that women are no longer allowed to speak more than 100 words per day.
Okay.
So this is, and so the average person, I think, speaks like 16,000 words a day.
Yeah.
So I haven't started the book yet, but something happens, and the trick is, this is the world that we exist in, and like great dystopian novels, this book tracks one character. There's one woman who's going to stand up, fight against this, challenge this, and that's what the story is.
Awesome.
So I think it's going to be a really, really big book, just thinking about the everything that's happening in the world. It's called Vox. It comes out August 21st.
Love it. Okay, so we got to wrap up, but before we do, we were talking earlier about like that experience of opening a book and starting to read it, and you realize that you've probably read that before. We need a word for it. Someone just tweeted at us a word for that: reliterate.
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 I like that.
Ed Review, thank you so much.
Awesome.
Yeah. I'm going to use that from now on. The next time I open up a book, and it's going to happen sooner or later.
Yeah,
there are books on my bookshelf that I own, and I'm not 100% sure if I've read them or not.
And
so.
Is it the verb? I'm reliterating?
Yeah, when you reliterate.
I gotcha. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah.
Let's use it.
It's perfect. Done. Susan Brown, thank you so much.
See you next week.